NBC Monitor News on the Hour brought to you by General Motors, its craftsmen and dealers who give meaning to the GM mark of excellence. Now with the news, here is Russ Ward.
Heavy fighting was reported today along Vietnam's demilitarized zone. North Vietnam is said to have massed three new divisions near the zone for what is expected to be an across-the-border communist offensive. A U.S. spokesman in Saigon said American Marines killed 271 of the enemy in a series of running battles. There have been two more incidents of misdirected artillery fire in which 32 South Vietnamese were killed or wounded. A friendly village was hit by one shelling, a group of sampans hit by the other. U.N. Secretary General U Thant was scheduled to leave Rangoon, Burma for London over 2 hours ago. The Burmese diplomat had promised an important statement concerning Vietnam before his departure. However, there has been no word from Rangoon. U Thant met Thursday with North Vietnamese representatives and was given a document from Hanoi, reportedly dealing with North Vietnamese conditions for peace talks. More on Vietnam coming up. Radio Peking admitted today serious problems have developed in Red China's farm communes that army troops are being put to work to help farmers increase production. That's Saigon Report and other news after this from General Motors.
Do you have children? When they're in the car, would you like something more than an ordinary door lock? Well, here's a new door lock that stands guard. It's the lock found on every door of every car that carries the GM mark of excellence. It's the General Motors passenger guard door lock. When you push a passenger guard door lock down, the door can't be opened accidentally from the inside. And GM also built you a better door with the added protection of stronger latches and hinges. So if you have children and want something more than an ordinary door lock, look for the lock that stands guard and the GM mark of excellence. Both on every 1967 General Motors car. Look to the GM mark of excellence.
Once again, Russ Ward.
There were student demonstrations in South Vietnam today, opposition directed in part toward the foreign policies of French President de Gaulle. A report from Bill Wordham, NBC News, Saigon.
It has been a big day for hundreds of politically minded schoolchildren in Saigon. In the morning, more than 1,000 high schoolers paraded past the French consulate, shouting their contempt for President de Gaulle, for dealing with the communists, and seeking what they called an unjust peace. In the afternoon, hundreds more children, some too young to attend school, filled the downtown theater to proclaim, on cue from their leaders, that the United Youth of Vietnam yearns for peace, but is determined to break the will of the North Vietnamese to make war. For the staff of the French consulate, it was the second display of anti-French sentiment they had witnessed in less than 24 hours. They watched from their windows and balconies while Saigon's riot police, equipped with bayonets and tear gas, maintained control. They saw children rip up caricatures of President de Gaulle and Ho Chi Minh, and they heard contempt for France shouted over loudspeakers. Bill Wardham, NBC News, Saigon.
There has been more looting of food grain shops in India in the latest incident about 130 miles southeast of New Delhi. A mob marched into a main market area demanding that merchants cut food prices immediately. 10 persons were injured in the rioting that followed. A rally is planned for tomorrow in New York's Harlem on behalf of the re-election of Adam Clayton Powell. The rally is billed as strictly peaceful. On the island of Bimini, meanwhile, Powell was scheduled to meet this morning with his lawyers to discuss legal moves to win back his congressional seat. More in a moment.
We'd like to let you in on something. Now, there are two true cigarettes. First, True Blue, America's most talked about filter cigarette, with an average yield of 12.9 milligrams tar, 0.8 milligrams nicotine. Second, True Green, a lively menthol version of True Blue. Now there are two true cigarettes. Now more than ever, shouldn't your brand be True?
The Soviet newspapers Vestia today reported the Vietnam peace proposal of New York Senator Robert Kennedy, but the only editorial comment added was that Senate opposition does not influence the White House. Said Vestia, Senator Kennedy for a long time has been stressing his disagreement with the White House on the Vietnamese question, but one should not exaggerate the extent of this disagreement. Meanwhile, a New Hampshire newspaper, the Concord Daily Monitor, says Senator Kennedy will be entered in that state's presidential primary next year as a write-in candidate. According to the newspaper, a New York group called Citizens for Kennedy Fulbright is busy setting up a campaign organization in New Hampshire. Senator Kennedy has stated he favors the re-election of President Johnson in 1968, and a spokesman in the senator's office said last night he was not aware anything was going on in New Hampshire. Under the New Hampshire law, it is possible to write in a person's name in the primary without his permission. This is Russ Ward, NBC News, Washington.
Listen again on the hour when True Filter Cigarettes brings you NBC Monitor News.
At 5.5 minutes past 11 o'clock, it's 38 degrees and cloudy in New York City, and this is Jerry Damon with the latest news of the metropolitan area. A caravan of 100 state island cars will travel to nearby New Jersey communities today to protest air pollution. The demonstration called Operation Breathe Free will take place in Perth Amboy Elizabeth Lyndon Woodbridge. WNBC News reporter Bill Fitzgerald discussed the campaign with William O'Connell, chairman of the operation.
Mr. O'Connell, what do you expect to accomplish by this demonstration?
We hope to bring attention to the fact that there are concerned citizens in both New Jersey and Staten Island, largely on the order of we breathe your pollution and we wish you'd stop.
Do you think the industries who are largely responsible for the air pollution will cooperate with your campaign?
We don't know yet. What we're trying to do is create a grassroots mandate for them, something to which they have to respond, as large companies always respond to large groups of people insisting on something, and, as well as politicians.
The caravan expects to spend 2 hours presenting their gripes to the New Jersey communities. About 300 passengers of the Italian line's Leonardo da Vinci, scheduled to leave New York yesterday for a Mediterranean cruise, are now due to leave tomorrow instead. The line gave most of its passengers $50 to eat in New York restaurants while the ship is delayed by a labor dispute. Two young women were killed in early morning fires in New York City this morning. 20-year-old Laura Hoffester burned to death in a two-alarm fire that engulfed six houses on 3rd Avenue. The fire forced 12 families into the street shortly after 5 a.m. Weather now for the New York area. It's 38 degrees and cloudy in New York City. Humidity 46%, the barometer falling. Wind from the west at 7 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy and cold this afternoon. The high in the low 40s. Cloudy and cold tonight. The low around 30. Cloudy Sunday with rain likely, possibly starting as snow in the morning. The high 35 to 40. This is Jerry Damon.
Yes, Monitor 67, the show with a magic ingredient, Instant Weekend Whirl, speeding you here, there, and everywhere that something exciting, entertaining, or informative is to be found. I'm your most willing guide and companion, Gene Rayburn, and in 3 minutes we'll have a report on the latest developments in the sport of speed, auto racing. So fasten your seatbelts and away we go. Jack Jones is a name easy to remember, and so is the name of his latest song.
Your sweet expression, the smile you gave me, the way you looked when we met. It's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. I hear you whisper, I'll always love you. I know it's over, and yet it's easy to remember, but so hard to forget. So I must dream to have your hand caress me, fingers press me tight. I'd rather dream than have that lonely feeling stealing through the night. Each little moment is clear before me, although it brings me regret. It's easy to remember, and so hard to forget. I'd rather dream than have that lonely feeling stealing through the night. it brings me regrets. It's easy to remember and so hard to forget. It's easy to remember and so hard to forget. It's easy to remember and so hard to forget.
Now here is Mel Allen.
Monitor presents Sport of Speed. It's time for your weekend checkpoint for Ted Webb's news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. Brought to you by the many service stations from coast to coast that carry a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. Ted will be along in just a moment. First of all, let me tell you this. Every once in a while, someone asks us, what's so great about Pennsylvania motor oils? Well, let's put it this way. Some oils take several days to produce. Pennsylvania oils took a million years. Nature has never produced a crude oil like it. Pennsylvania oil has a unique molecular structure that stands up to the head of high speeds. Can you imagine what happens to lesser oils when they're thrashed around several thousand times a minute at turnpike speeds? Pennsylvania motor oils never get so stirred up that they forget what they're supposed to do. So for the good of your engine, insist on a brand of Pennsylvania motor oil. And say, all of you sports car enthusiasts, when is your club holding its next rally? You can get a complete rally kit with checkpoint signs, windshield numbers, and sanctioned scoring slips from the Pennsylvania Grade Crude Oil Association. For just $1, you get six big checkpoint signs, windshield stickers numbered 1 through 100, and a pad of 120 rally scoring slips. Just send your dollar to Checkpoint, Box 96, Oil City, Pennsylvania. Now, here's Ted.
Thank you, Mel. The Ford Motor Company has announced that they are assigning four of their top drivers to GT prototype cars, which will make a determined effort to repeat last year's win in the Sebring 12 Hours of Endurance. National driving champion Mario Andretti, together with Bruce McLaren, A.J. Foyt, and Lloyd Ruby, will be on the Ford team when the field starts the Le Mans Dash at 11 o'clock on the morning of April 1st. Both Andretti and Ruby have been conducting exhaustive tests during the past few weeks to enable the Ford racing engineers to correct malfunctions which ruined the team's chances at the recent Continental. According to well-informed sources, the results of the testings have been most satisfactory. Mario Andretti, the Italian-born racing sensation now living in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, must well be the hottest property in competition today. Just last week, he won the richest purse in stock car racing history, driving a Ford Fairlane to victory in the Daytona 500. Lloyd Ruby is no stranger to the Grand Prix of Sebring, since he and his teammate, the late Ken Miles, were the winners of last year's test of endurance. Ruby, who lives in Wichita Falls, Texas, is a versatile performer with plenty of experience in both road course racing and oval track competition. Four-time national champion A.J. Foyt from Houston, Texas, will be paired with Ruby, while New Zealander Bruce McLaren will share driving duties with Andretti. One of the first moves by J.C. Agajanian in his new post at the Phoenix International Speedway was to change the date of this season's first championship race from April 2nd to April 9th. This one-week delay removes the conflict with Atlanta's NASCAR 500-miler, also set for April 2nd, which in turn is the day following the 12-hour grind at Sebring. There are many USAC drivers entered at Sebring on April 1st who couldn't make Phoenix the next day, but who would want to run Atlanta? So the week's postponement will be beneficial to all. A set of remarkable action photos made recently during the ARCA 250 at Daytona resulted in seatbelt modifications for NASCAR racing stock cars. C.B. Haschel, longtime photographer from Indianapolis, caught the sequence of shots which showed Johnny Roberts in his frightening series of flips with his lower body twisted sideways with both legs between the door and the left side of the seat. NASCAR chief technical inspector has announced that in future, an additional belt will fasten to the floor in front of the driver, which Bill Taylor feels will prevent swiveling in the seat during such violent flips. Dan Gurney, one of the fast men of all time, was fined this week in absentia in a court on the West Coast. $51 it cost him for speeding while on his way to the Riverside Grand Prix on October 30th last. This is Ted Webb from Sebring, Florida.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb is brought to you twice each weekend by the many famous brands of Pennsylvania Motor Oil. For the lasting good of your engine, insist on a Pennsylvania motor oil. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Sport of Speed with Ted Webb will again update the latest in the racing world tomorrow here on the Monitor Beacon. And at 18 minutes past the monitor hour, this is Gene Rayburn making a joyful noise. Hooray. At the prospects of hearing a joyful noise from the Johnny Mann singers.
Make a joyful noise, a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise, a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
The sound of a woman calling, the girl singing to the boy. The hearts of the farmer rolling, he makes a joyful noise.
Looking for a hobby to occupy your leisure hours? And then perhaps you'll be interested in a new book by Dr. Marvin J. Gersh. It's titled, How to Raise Children at Home in Your Spare Time. And if this raises the question, who's got spare time when there are children in the home? Perhaps Dr. Gersh will have an answer. Now, it should be pretty obvious from the book's title to our listeners that your approach to the problem of child rearing is a kind of a cheerful one, that you're a pediatrician with a sense of humor. But the first thing they'd probably want to know is this. What's a basic premise on which your pediatric philosophy is established? Do you have one?
I think if I have a basic premise, it's that child rearing is so serious that no one dare take it seriously. I borrowed that in part from Dostoevsky. What I'm trying to say is that if one worries and is preoccupied about all the possibilities and permutations that can happen to a child, then one could really drive oneself mad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my philosophy to present basic facts on child rearing, both physical and psychological, and on the basis of those facts, let parents make choices.
Hmm. Now, for some specifics, for instance, you say in your book you treat a first baby as if it were a second one. How do you do that?
Well, I often thought that if... Many mothers have said to me, if I only knew then what I know now. And so what I did in a chapter called How to Make Your First Baby Seem Like Your Second was to try to anticipate those questions that a new mother of a first baby might have. She might be worried about the way he looks or whether he spits up or what his bowel movements are like or why his belly button sticks out or why his legs are bowed. And by anticipating those questions, I'd hoped that the mother would feel as if she were familiar with the baby.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about discipline? What's your attitude toward discipline in this book?
My own feeling is that discipline is teaching. and that a parent has a responsibility which they can never escape of teaching children socially acceptable behavior. And so that I think that it's our job to teach children how to behave. And I've taken the position that I know more than any two-year-old.
Brave fellow here. Dr. Gersh, why is it that mothers, from your viewpoint at least, seem to be so ill-equipped or ill-prepared for motherhood? They seem to hit the panic button if the belly button is distended or if the child has colic. And other forms of animal life, I mean, nobody tells a female dog how to raise her puppies. Why does the higher the animal have to have that knowledge laid out?
Well, I think the reasons are, I think, as follows. In the first place, human beings, the least of all in the animal kingdom, can rely on instincts as guides to their behavior. We are less motivated by instinctual forms of behavior than any other animal in the animal kingdom. From the historical point of view, I think that people in our world now, particularly in this country, no longer have tradition as a guide. For example, my parents were influenced by their parents. But since we have now moved physically away from our parents and psychologically away from our parents, we are now in the process of finding new ways of child rearing. And the things that our parents have taught us no longer, in a sense, hold good. Therefore, each parent really has to discover in a way for himself the new ways of child rearing. We can't rely on our grandmothers anymore.
Well, Dr. Gersh here sounds like a serious fellow and a knowledgeable one. That he is. He has a great deal of knowledge in his field. But in fact, monitor listeners, he has written a gay, lighthearted book that's full of information, which not only new mothers, but old mothers, I think, will find interesting, as this old father did. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Dr. Marvin J. Gersh, and the book is How to Raise Children at Home in Your Spare Time. Singer Edie Gourmet, who raises children at home, has managed to find time to win one of the most coveted prizes in her profession, a Grammy, this past Thursday for the best recording by a female singer in 1966. Here it is. If He Walked Into My Life.
Did he need a stronger hand? Did he need a lighter touch? Was I soft or was I tough? Did I give enough? Did I give too much? At the moment that he needed me, did I ever turn away? Would I be there when he called? If he walked into my life today, were the years a little fast? Was his world a little free? Was there too much of a crowd? All too lush and loud? And not enough of me? If he walked into my life today.
Now a message meant for you.
Get with living the exciting way. Drink sparkling champagne like nothing else you ever tasted. Nothing else except champagne. So put more sparkle in your life today with sparkling champagne.
Sophisticated? Oh, you'll feel that way with Champale. Champale. Tastes like champagne. Buy it wherever beer is sold. Cost just pennies more. Sparkling Champale Malt Liquor, Metropolis Brewery, Trenton, New Jersey. Wednesday's Child, Peter Nero's orchestra. On Saturday's program, Monitor heard Sundays, too, all across the nation on NBC stations. In Palm Beach, Florida, that's WQXT. A brief pause, then on we go. Gene Rayburn here.
At home or on the road, stay with Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.
Hold it. Hold it, you there. You lady, the one about to throw away that old-fashioned-looking piece of glassware you found in the attic while doing some pre-spring cleaning. Don't throw it away. At least not until you hear what Arlene Francis' guest has to say about antiques 3 minutes from now, here on Monitor 67. I'm Gene Rayburn, and this is Marilyn May. And next on Monitor, Arlene Francis, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and James Lee's Carpets. Here's Arlene. Arlene is out there rustling around trying to collect some antiques. And if I know Arlene, she's going to get those antiques. In the meantime, while she's looking through the antique shop, let's have a little music.
Sometimes in the morning, when shadows are deep, I lie here beside you, just watching you sleep. And sometimes I whisper what I'm thinking of. My cup runneth over with love. Sometimes in the evening, when you do not see, I study the small things you do constantly. I memorize moments that I'm fondest of. My cup runneth over with love. It only a moment. We both will be old. We won't even notice the world turning cold. And so in this moment, with sunlight above, my cup runneth over with love. My cup runneth over with
Always a pleasure to welcome Ed Ames to monitor the song, My Cup Runneth Over.
Miller High Life, the champagne of bottle beer.
Wherever people enjoy life, you'll find Miller High Life, the quality beer that goes with good times. Get sparkling, flavorful, distinctive Miller High Life. No return bottles or pop and pour cans.
Sparkling, flavorful, and distinctive.
Now it's Arlene Francis, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and James Lee's Carpets. Arlene?
Do you collect antiques? In 1 minute, we'll find out where you can get the best buys. But first, there's a whole new world of liveliness in carpets, and it comes to you from Lee's. Lee's new big, fat, thick Charlestown carpet. You know that soft, springy feeling most new carpets have. Well, Lee's Charlestown stays springy because it's made with a pile of DuPont Orlon 33 acrylic.
Springier, fancier, it's a carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
Lee's Charlestown, the thick, fat, roly-poly carpet made with Orlon 33 for lasting liveliness. For a lot of good, down-to-earth reasons, choose those heavenly carpets by Lee's.
Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
There are 20,000 registered antique dealers in the United States, and each year, collectors spend over $650 million for their antiques. To tell us what makes an antique a good buy, my guest is Dorothy Jenkins. antique authority for Woman's Day magazine. Miss Jenkins, what's the most popular type of antique that people collect?
I would say glass. Press glass, yes. Press glass has been popular with collectors for more than 30 years. Right now, I think it's possible that the art glass, various kinds of colorful art glass, are most popular. And people are paying fabulous prices at auctions for pieces. Satin glass and Tiffany glass.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even carnival glass, which isn't a genuine antique.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, carnival glass got its name because it was given as prizes at carnivals.
Oh, really?
Between 1900 and about 1921.
Mm-hmm.
It is highly colored, rather iridescent, but not with that lovely luminous iridescent of Tiffany's.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually some sort of pumpkin or marigold shade.
Do you think that all of the old stuff that people buy is worth money, though?
No. No, I really don't. Perhaps if they get a sufficiently broad and large and interesting collection of something like mustache cups, which, again,
yes,
aren't genuine antiques, perhaps then that collection, because of its size and its different types that they have and different kinds of decoration, that may end up being valuable. But it never seems to me that one or two mustache cups or small things like that really are worth the money people pay for
mm-hmm.
them.
What about amateur collectors who think of the antiques they buy as good investment? I mean, are they ever disappointed?
They can be if they don't know what they are buying. That is, if they don't know enough about the good qualities of the antique in question, they could certainly be fooled into buying something that perhaps wasn't even an antique.
But sometimes, I mean, how can antiques be a good investment if antique prices go up and down purely according to the current demand?
I don't think they do. I think that is true of certain things, such as perhaps carnival glass. Certainly that is not going to 10 years from now be selling for what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, a piece of furniture, a chair or a table made before 1830, if it is one of good quality, certainly it can only increase in value.
Mm-hmm. It's the fad things that may change.
It's the fad things, yes, that may change.
Can you tell us what areas of the United States are best for finding antiques at a good price and what are the worst?
I think southern New England is no longer a particularly good place. I think you have to go pretty far north in New England to find very much choice. I think, on the whole, you have to get away from the cities and even from the metropolitan suburbs.
Get really into the rural areas.
Get really into the rural areas and also get into small city areas, for example, in the Midwest and in the South. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do better.
Thank you, Dorothy Jenkins, for your down-to-earth advice on buying antiques. This is Arlene Francis for Monitor. Did I mention that Lee's now has 5 different carpet textures made from pile of springy Orlon 33 acrylic by DuPont? Well, these are carpet textures that you can't appreciate till you see and touch them.
Springier, bouncier, it's a carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
These 5, all made with Orlon 33 acrylic, are just 5 more heavenly carpets by Lee's.
Listen later today when Orlon 33 Acrylic from DuPont and James Lee's Carpets once again present Arlene Francis. The time now 13 minutes before the Monitor Hour, here, there, and everywhere on the Monitor Beacon. In one moment, the commissioner of the NBA talks about a threatened player strike. Monitor Sports is brought to you by Luden's Cough Drop. Never, never chew, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Melvin Gohard, the great baseball pitcher who won 43 games last year. Melvin, to what do you attribute your success?
Bob, I believe that my success is due entirely to Luden's cough drops.
I don't understand.
It's this way. As soon as a batter steps up, I pop a Luden's cough drop into my mouth and let it dissolve slowly, resisting the terrific temptation to chew it.
The batter knows this?
Sure. He's standing at the plate trying to do the same thing. Suddenly, he cracks, and he bites into his Luden's cough drop. And right from that moment, I've got him.
So you really do owe your success to not chewing Luden's cough drops.
It's that simple. What advice do you have for our audience? Work hard, play hard, and never chew a Luden's cough drop. Let it dissolve. You get all the good Luden's medication for much longer that way. And you'll strike out lots of ball players.
That's good advice, Melvin. Thank you. That's all right. I'll talk to my fans anytime. It's the price of greatness.
This week, players of the National Basketball Association threatened to strike the league's championship playoffs and also sought union recognition by filing for certification with the National Labor Relations Board. The bone of contention is what players called a lack of a realistic pension plan. Now, how serious is the threatened strike? Monitor sports editor Len Dillon talked with NBA Commissioner Walter Kennedy.
Walter Kennedy, there's better than $200,000 involved for the players for this year's NBA playoffs. As the commissioner of basketball for the National Basketball Association, do you seriously think they'll pass it up by striking?
I would think that before a player strike became an eventuality such as is discussed, every avenue would be explored by both the owners and the players to avert it.
Possibility more smoke than fire.
It could be, although, again, I'm not minimizing the possibility of something taking place of that nature. We had been carrying on a series of negotiations. I'm not sure whether that's the right word. Certainly we had a series of meetings, and we discussed the various situations. And this resulted then in a final meeting on Thursday of last week, and then the following Tuesday, there was a press conference held by the players and their counsel at which certain conditions were outlined and the threat of a player strike was publicized. I knew nothing about this. They had not contacted me in any way. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until 48 hours later that I received a communication, and of course we're now in the process of studying it, researching it, and for the first time we now know exactly what they want, and we'll make every effort to work out a solution to a problem that apparently finds an alternative, a player strike.
How much of a wedge is this new pro basketball league going to play in this negotiation bit that's going on?
None whatsoever. And actually, neither will the threat of a player strike. Whatever final determination is made of the situation at which we now find ourselves and which the players find themselves, it'll be made on the merits of the situation, the validity of the request, and whether it's a reasonable one. We certainly couldn't consider it and finalize our thinking under the threat of either a player strike or the knowledge that there might be another league that would give them a haven in which to go.
Finally, Commissioner, what is the next step on your part or the owner's part?
At the present time, we're researching the request of the players for a retroactive pension plan that would find it necessary for each of the NBA clubs to fund a new pension plan, bringing all of the players now active in the NBA up to date at the present time. As soon as that's completed, and it probably will take 2 or 3 days, and when I have an evaluation of it, if it's reasonable and if it sounds valid and if it's something that I think that we can approach with a degree of common sense, I would then call a meeting of the owners to discuss it. I think really the only serious problem that exists at the present time exists with the pension plan. The other situations that still need to be discussed and finalized, I do not think are of a serious nature, and this may not be the pension plan may not be serious either when we come down to grips with it.
Walter Kennedy, Commissioner of the National Basketball Association, thank you ever so much.
Nice to be with you again, Len.
Nice seeing you. Len Dillon for Monitor Sports.
Now, word about Lark filter cigarettes.
There is nothing like a Lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a Lark, have a Lark, have a Lark today.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a Lark, have a Lark, have a Lark today.
I think everybody who smokes should try a Lark.
There's nothing like a Lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a Lark, have a Lark, have a Lark today.
Great smoke, glad I changed.
Hey, there's nothing like a Lark.
Have a Lark today.
There is nothing like a Lark. Have one.
The whole range of sports with top personalities, up-to-the-minute developments, late scores, yours throughout the weekend on Monitor.
Gee, that looks good. It looks just like tomato juice.
But it's a blend of juices good for you and me, V8.
Well, I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Lively juices, vegetable juices, yours for good health in V8.
Well, I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Well, just take one taste of V8.
Wow, it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8.
Great.
V8 cocktail vegetable juice from Campbell's.
To make sure that you will be among those listening to Monitor later this afternoon, I'll mention just a few of the varied and interesting guests and features you'll be hearing. Matter of fact, we'll let you hear a brief bit from one of them right now. You might call this the Rubaiyat of Richard Burton.
I became an actor by accident. And if I cease to become an actor by accident, I'll be, as long as I have enough for a bottle of scotch and some pasta to eat and Elizabeth by my side, I wouldn't mind too much, I don't think.
Just a few simple necessities. Well, Mr. Burton, we'll have a great deal more to say later today about family, about baseball, about golf. And among our other guests on Monitor, the man who designs gimmicked-up cars like the Batmobile. We'll have a congressman, Morris Udall, brother of the Secretary of the Interior, and that subject is certainly currently very much in the news. Composer Johnny Mercer will visit, and then there'll be the whole range of Monitor news, sports, household information, music, so you leave that radio dial just where it is. Tune to Monitor on NBC.
When you've got a job to do, reach for something good to chew. Chewing helps you stand the pace anytime and any place. So, hi-ho, hey-hey, chew your little troubles away. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Work goes faster, smoother, too. Life seems brighter when you chew. Hi-ho, hey-hey, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Get some soon.
Not Unusual by Trombones Unlimited. This hour of Monitor is limited, however, but there's more ahead with latest NBC News just a minute away. Gene Rayburn here.
This is Mel Allen. For a complete review of all sports, please join me each weekend on Monitor on NBC Radio.
Want to head for the beach? Pan Am has an idea. Head for a beach with a British accent. The name is Nassau, and Pan Am can have you there in just a little over 2 hours. There's a nonstop flight every morning that's timed to give you an afternoon on the beach. And that's just the beginning. Nassau's got something for everybody. Spectacular hotels, duty-free bargains, day after day of blue skies and golden sun. A night that were made for following the beat of the Gumbe bands in those colorful native nightclubs that swing until dawn. The price of a Pan Am ticket? A lot less than you'd think. The round-trip 17-day jet economy fare from New York is just $115. And from Nassau, you can fly on to exclusive Rock Sound on the island of Eleuthera. This Pan Am Extra doesn't add a penny to your fare. See a Pan Am travel agent or call 973-4000. That's the world's most experienced airline.
Who's watching the score? Bill Mazur. Weeknights at 5 on the big voice of Big Town USA, WNBC, New York.